As was said, we just finished the leadership training camp that went from Wednesday to Saturday afternoon, and we learned so much, went through a lot of the Old Testament and went over that and studied about faith, and as you saw the scripture this morning in Hebrews 11, and how all those characters and how they displayed faith in their lives. And so that will be part of this lesson this morning. We'll be talking about Gideon, one of the judges, and so that is where the lesson will come from this morning. But first I want to ask you, do you have any doubts? Do you have any worries? Any fears? How strong is your faith today? I mean, sometimes we say, well, sometimes I have a really strong faith, and I go through this roller coaster with my faith, and it's up high sometimes, and it's up down low sometimes. And that's how our faith is. But how strong is your faith this morning? Do you fully trust in God? You know, we go the same route with this. Sometimes we trust in God for these things, and someone will say we trust, you know, part of this scripture, and we trust God over here, and they're just back and forth. But do you fully trust God this morning? And really the purpose of this lesson is to convince you to put all of your trust in God rather than man, and to never doubt God. Because we need to put all of our trust in God and not man. For if you look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says in that Sermon on the Mount that no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the other and not the other one. And he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's hard to serve God and man at the same time. And so this morning, we want to learn and to convince you to put all of your trust in God. As I said, we'll be looking at the story of Gideon and how he trusted in God and how he had to overcome doubt. That'll be point number one when we're going to look at the story of Gideon, and we're going to see how he overcame doubt. And then we'll look at how he was able to increase his faith and how he was able to trust in God. But first, before we get to the story, I just want to look at the background of the book of Judges and of the Israelites. The book of Judges, the name really means deliverers. It doesn't mean those court-appointed judges, although these judges did judge, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 16. But the name really means that these men were deliverers. They were leaders of a nation, and God would raise up a deliverer, in this case Gideon, to lead the people back to righteousness. And so that's just the background behind the book of Judges. And you look at the background behind the people, the Israelites, and you go and turn over to the book of Judges. We'll begin our story in the book of Judges chapter 6 in verse 1, where we see the background of these Israelites, these people here. Judges chapter 6 in verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. And so here we see that in these first few beginning verses of Judges chapter 6, that these Israelite people had sinned against God. And so for 7 years, they have been delivered into the hand of Midian and had been defeated by them for 7 years. You go down to verse 5 and it shows the power of that Midian army. Verse 5 says, "For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts." Some other translations say grasshopper, and how just as numerous as they were. "And both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter into the land to destroy it." So here's this great, great army of Midian. They're coming in as numerous as these locusts or grasshoppers, with all their power and might, innumerable, with all of their power and might as they come to defeat the Israelites. And so that's the brief background of the Israelite people. And then you see, if you keep on going in Judges chapter 6 and verse 7, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, out of slavery. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. So here comes this prophet speaking to the children of Israel. And we know, as we saw in the beginning of the story, that they did not obey him. But the prophet reminds them that God is a God of deliverance. And so that is this just the background of this story. But this morning we're going to move on in the book of Judges. Look at the story of Gideon. And like I said, learn to overcome doubt, just as Gideon had to. Increase our faith, just as Gideon had to do that in the story. And learn to put all of our trust in God. So let's see. Look at the story of Gideon and how he had to overcome doubt. Still in Judges chapter 6, go down to verse 11. This is the beginning of the story of Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And so we see this beginning part of the story. The Lord comes to Gideon and says, "You're going to be the leader of the Israelites. You're going to help defeat the Midianites." And Gideon, I don't know what he was thinking, but he starts making excuses. He says, "I don't know about that." He says, "Why have you forsaken us?" He just can't believe it. He starts making excuses. And how, if you look in verse 15, that he is the least in his clan. And his clan is the least in all of the area. And he starts making these excuses to God that he can't do it. But in verse 17, then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." So here, in verse 17, we see that Gideon, after making these excuses to God, he begins to doubt. He begins to doubt in God that it's really him and that's really who he is talking to, and that the Lord really wants him to lead the Israelites to defeat the Midianites. And so in verse 17, he asks God for a sign. And so if you continue on, we read in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 6, "The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread." And so that's the sign that the Lord showed to Gideon. He told him to get this unleavened bread and meat, place it on the rock, and he would consume it. And so there was that first sign that the Lord showed to Gideon in order to help him to stop doubting and believe. And then you see down in verse 24 that after that, Gideon worshiped God and built an altar. But it's just like Christians today. A lot of times we doubt in our lives. A lot of times when we're going through adversity, we begin to doubt. And we begin to think, is God really with us? Is he really here for us? And we think that we're just so small and minute, and God is so big and so vast, and his power is just so great. And we think that we're down here on this earth and so small of a person, and God is so magnificent that we don't know if he's really there for us. And a lot of times as Christians we doubt. And we need not to doubt, because we have things like this Bible that can help us not doubt and make us believe. And we'll get on to that later. But you go further into the story, and you see that the Lord appeared to Gideon again in Judges chapter 6, down in verse 36. And he appeared to him again, also telling him that he was going to be the leader of the Israelites and lead them to defeat the Midianites. And so Gideon doubts again. So God shows him another sign, and we know that some of you might know that story where Gideon says, I have this fleece, and if there's dew on it in the morning and the ground is dry, that's the first sign. And God does that, and Gideon, he probably believes a little more, but he asks for another sign. And so he says, well, if the fleece is dry in the morning and the ground all around is wet with dew, that will show Gideon that God is really serious, then he doesn't need to doubt in God. And so those signs all came true, and Gideon did believe. But Gideon's not the only one who doubted in the Bible. There were many other characters who had doubt. You look at when Jesus and Peter were walking, Jesus was walking on the water out toward the boat, and Peter wanted to come see him, and so Jesus tells him to come walk on the water out to him. And so Peter does, and he begins walking out, and he continues walking out to meet Jesus in the water, and he sees that the wind becomes heavy and boisterous, and he begins to lose faith, and begins to doubt, and he begins to sink. And so Peter was doubting that he could really walk on the water. He didn't believe it. And so he began to sink. You look at the story of the doubting Thomas and how he didn't really believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he just couldn't imagine that Jesus would go through that agony and pain on the cross. And so Jesus comes to him in John chapter 20 in verse 24 through 29, and he shows him his hands and the nail-scarred hands that he had, and Thomas believed. But look at all these stories. Look at all these stories of doubt. Look at the story of Gideon and the story of when Jesus and Peter were walking on the water. And look at Thomas. And let's see why they were doubting. There's three key phrases in each of the story, one key phrase in each of the story that will show us why they were doubting. You look in the story of when Jesus and Peter were walking on the water. And when Peter begins to sink, Jesus says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." You see the story of doubting Thomas, and you see what Jesus said to Thomas, and he says, "Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? How do you not have faith?" And so we see that all these people, including Gideon, Thomas, Gideon, and Peter, were all doubting because they had very little faith. They didn't have a strong faith. Their faith became weak, and they didn't believe. And that's what causes doubt, because they didn't have a strong faith. Gideon doubted God because his faith was weak. But through the signs that God showed to him, he started to gain and increase his faith. And so, point number two, we'll look at how we can increase our faith. Gideon's faith was increased, and we'll look at another part of the story in a minute. But we'll look at how we can increase our faith. Today, we know that there are no signs or miracles and wonders to help build our faith. But we have the Word of God. We have this book here that can help increase our faith and show us in order to believe. Look at the end of the story of the doubting Thomas. John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Yet another verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son of God." And so we don't have those miracles and signs, but we have this Word of God today that can help us believe, that can increase our faith and help us have faith in God. You think about the proof of this book and how it is being proven so many times. You think about history and how the stories in this book and the things that happen in the Bible coincide with dates in history. Or you think about how there are 332 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah and how every one of them came true, 2 Peter 1 and verse 17 through 22. And you just know that all these things are here so that we might believe, that we might not have doubt, and that we might increase our faith. You look at the story of Gideon, you look at, read the Bible, and you know we can understand that there are three ways to increase our faith. Three ways. Number one is to stand up for what is right. And you look at the story of Gideon, and he did this. We skipped over these few verses, but you look in chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. And how the Lord came to Gideon and told him to tear down the altars of Baal and the graven images that were there and the gods which his father worshipped. Yes, Gideon's father worshipped these idols. And so the Lord comes and tells him to tear down these idols. And Gideon does so, even though his father worshipped these idols, and even though, if you look in verse 29 through 31, that he was threatened with death. He was threatened with death, and even still, he tore down these idols, and he did what the Lord said to do. He stood up for his faith and what he believed in, because Gideon was no worshiper of idols. And so that's one way that we can increase our faith, by standing up for what's right. Another way to increase our faith is, it kind of goes along with number one, but the second way to increase our faith is by the trials in our lives and in times of adversity. Look at the book of James. Turn over there to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of our faith will increase our faith and produce patience. And in verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. There it is, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So here, when we go through trials and adversity in our lives, we need to understand that this will help increase our faith. The third way to increase our faith is by studying the Bible. We looked at those few verses just a minute ago, that this book was written so that we might believe. You keep on reading and you keep on reading and you find new things that you haven't seen before, and it ultimately helps us believe that the things which are written in this book. So Gideon stood up for his faith. He was able to increase his faith, and we can increase our faith today. Gideon had faith just like many other characters in the Bible. You look at the story of David, and a lot of us know the story of David and Goliath from our childhood, and how David said in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37 that the Lord will deliver him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And he believed that the Lord would deliver him from Goliath, and he did. You look at the story of Job and how everything was taken away from him, and still he had faith in God and still held fast to what he believed in. When we have faith in God, it ultimately becomes so much easier for us to trust in God and know that he will provide for us. So let us look at now how easy it was for Gideon to trust in God because of the faith that was built inside of him. I like this part of the story. It's the battle, and the battle that they had between the Israelites and the Midianites. We're going to look at how and learn how to put all our trust in God. And I said all for a reason, because Psalms 118 verse 4 says that, verse 14 I believe it is, that it says that it is better to trust in God rather than man. And so we need to put our trust in God rather than man. And so we'll look at this end of this story, end of the battle. We'll look at the preparation of the battle. We'll look at the tactics they used for the battle, and the victory of this battle. It takes place in the next chapter, Judges chapter 7, and verse 1 through 22. Well, let's go now to the beginning verses, Judges chapter 1 through 8. And you see here that this battle preparation, and the Lord comes to Gideon, and Gideon has gathered up 32,000 men to fight against the Midianites. And the Lord says, in order for me to properly help you, that's too many. And so the Lord tells Gideon to send away all those who were afraid, and those who really didn't want to fight, those cowards. And so 22,000 men left, and he was left with 10,000 men in order to fight against the Midianites. But God comes to Gideon again and says it's too much. And so he tells them to take all the soldiers down to the river. And whoever gets down on his knees and laps like a dog, you shall send home. And whoever brings the water like a cup to its mouth from the river shall be able to fight. And that left Gideon with only 300 men to fight against the Midianites. You know, it's the same in God's army today. God doesn't want those who are afraid to serve him, and those cowards. He wants those who are ready to stand up for what is right and put all of their trust in him. But look now at the battle, the tactics, and what they used in order to defeat the Midianites. Judges chapter 7 and verse 16 through 21. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 300 men were with him, came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And so here we see that they were given torches and pitchers and trumpets in order to defeat the Midianites. And they were separated into three groups of 100 men in order to go in and attack. And just imagine the chaos that was going through that camp. During the night, someone coming in, blowing loud trumpets and clanging pitchers together and holding torches in their hand. That would have been so much chaos. And then we see, you go on to verses 22 and 23 and on into chapter 8, and how they are still defeating the Midianites, and how they have some other help from other places in verse 23. And ultimately, we know that through God's help and through Gideon trusting in God, they do defeat the Midianites. Chapter 8, verse 28, it says that the Midianites were subdued. And so they won the battle. But it's all because Gideon trusted in God. I don't know how he felt when the Lord said he was only going to be able to fight with 300 men, but he trusted in God. I don't know how he felt when the Lord told him to take these pitchers and torches and blow trumpets instead of using whatever kind of weapons they had back then, but he trusted in God. And so how does this all apply to us? You take this story of Gideon, and how does it apply to our lives? How do we put all of our trust in God? Just imagine 300 men from a great number of 32,000, and how through some help, but mostly them, were able to defeat 120,000 or more people. Imagine that. But we need to understand that we don't need a big army. We just need to have faith and trust in God. And so you look at Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 5 and verse 11. 5 and verse 11. And the psalmist writes, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround them as a shield." The psalmist writes, "Let all those who rejoice who put their trust in you, and you will be blessed, and he will be a shield round about you." Look also in Psalms chapter 115. Psalms 115 and verse 11. "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." When we trust in the Lord, when we put our trust in him, we will have that shield that protects us, and he will be our shield and our help, and we will be blessed. But there's also a battle going on today, and we talked about that last week in services. There's a battle between man and Satan is trying to get our souls. And we must realize that there is a war going on today, and we need to put our trust in God, overcome doubt, and have faith. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It's the application to our lives today. We need to learn to overcome doubt. We need to have faith in God, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We need to increase our faith all the time through the trials that we face, through studying the Word of God. James 1, 2 and 3, and 1 John 5 and 13. And we need to learn to put all of our trust in God. For you saw the verse in Psalms that says that it is better to trust in God rather than man. So the purpose of this lesson was to convince you to put your trust in God rather than man, and to never doubt God. You know, Gideon's faith grew as a result of this time in his life. He went from a weaker faith, and his faith was built into a strong faith. He had faith, and so the question is, do you have faith this morning? And having faith is one of the first steps in obeying the gospel. For Romans 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to have faith this morning. In order to become a child of God, in order to be a part of the Lord's army, we must have faith. John 3:16, we must believe that he is the Son of God, and we will have everlasting life. We need to repent of your sins this morning if you want to be saved. Luke 13:3-5, for whoever repents, he will not perish. And you must confess his name before others. Matthew 10:32-33. Because Jesus says, if you confess my name before men, he will confess your name before his Father in heaven. But you must realize, if we deny his name before men, he will deny your name before the Father in heaven. You must do that in order to be saved. Then you must be baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38. Mark 16:15-16. And then we must live a life full of faith. Live faithfully to the end, and we'll receive that crown of life. Revelation 2:10. If you need to become a Christian this morning, if your faith is weak and you need prayers that your faith might become stronger, if you need anything at all, come now as together we stand and sing.